in the Bible. First passage is John 3:16, and the second passage is Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas, and we pray, Lord, that as we listen to your word, may the meaning of Christmas really resonate in our hearts. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my church members wrote a very insightful article for our last church newsletter, the MKPC Life. Every December, she watches this film called A Charlie Brown Christmas. And this film is a 1965 animated television special by Charles Schwartz, the cartoonist, based on Peanuts. I think some of you are familiar with Charlie Brown and Snoopy and things like that. Now, in this show, Charlie Brown was very depressed. He's very depressed about the Christmas holiday season. Though he likes things about Christmas, he struggles to understand what Christmas is all about. And he becomes more discouraged when he observes his friend and his dog Snoopy participating in all the commercialization that is associated with Christmas. So his friend Lucy complains about receiving toys that she doesn't want, and his younger sister Sally asks him to help write a letter asking Santa Claus for dollar bills. And then his dog Snoopy decorates the doghouse, wanting to win the neighborhood light display contest. And again, the prize is money. And Charlie Brown observes all this, and he felt, what is the meaning of Christmas? And then Lucy tells Charlie Brown, to be less depressed, you need to be more involved. So Charlie Brown took her advice and became the director of a Christmas musical. However, he was very discouraged to see that his friend's idea of a Christmas musical was to party and to dance. And then Lucy suggests, you should get a Christmas tree. And Charlie Brown and Linus did that. They brought back a little tree. And everyone scorned and made fun of Charlie Brown. So despite all the trying and all the doing about Christmas, Charlie Brown still couldn't understand what Christmas is all about. The festivity, the seemingly joyous occasion actually made him feel isolated and out of sync. And I like what my church member wrote. Charlie Brown's search for purpose cuts through the surface level expression of joy in this world, exposing a deeper need that goes beyond the festive platitudes and feel-good tradition. Charlie Brown is searching for something deeper. And towards the end of the scene, Charlie Brown asks in desperation, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Is there a deeper meaning to today, to this occasion? You know, the struggles that Charlie Brown faced, being isolated, being out of sync with what is seemingly happy that is going on around us, probably mirrors what some of us also feel. In Singapore, the festive season is not necessarily a time of celebration and joy for quite a number of people, especially the seniors. A Straits Times article 2 weeks ago, and today also it was in the forum page, that some people, especially seniors, the festive season just bring out more of the loneliness that they are experiencing. And during this festive season, some are reminded of the people that they have lost, the regrets that they have in life. A welfare organization highlights that it is common for their 13,000 seniors in Singapore to feel down during this period. And the director of this welfare organization says that, you know, the times when people come to visit, they feel love. But when people leave, they feel down. Is it possible to find joy in this season? What is Christmas all about? Now, many people understand Christmas as a Christian holiday. Christmas is about baby Jesus who came about 2,000 years ago. But what is the significance of God coming to us? Why did God do that? Now, the passage that I just read to us, it's something very powerful that our Lord Jesus says. And in this passage, he tells us the meaning of Christmas and why he came. He says this, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." There are two significant facts that I want to bring out from this verse. Firstly, Christmas is about God who loves you. Have you ever heard of God who say, "I love you"? You know, growing up, I never heard of a God who loves. I grew up in a family that practices two world religions. I participate in rituals, in religious rite as part of family obligation. But I was empty deep down. So empty that until one day I heard of God who loves. And that really blows my mind. It was at a camp and someone shared a simple message. God loves you so much he gave his one and only Son for you. No one ever told me they love me. God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, he loved me and loved me enough to send his Son for me. My heart was strangely warm. I was so moved to hear this simple truth. And friends, that is what God wants you to know, that he loves you. So today, if you go out of this hall and you don't remember anything that I say, it is fine. Just remember one thing. God loves you. But you see, God's love is not all talk. Love cost him dearly. He gave up his one and only Son. Jesus came to us born fully human. Why? You see, we have a problem. And the problem is that by nature, we are rebels. We rebel against God. We rebel against God through sin. We rebel against God through disobedience. We just don't want to follow his ways. And the Bible tells us, for the wages or the payment of sin is death. And since there was no way for us to go to God, God came to us. Dwell among us, to die for us, to take away the penalty of sin. I always love how C.S. Lewis alludes the good news of Jesus saving us through his classic storybook, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And in this book, Aslan, the lion, the lord and creator of Narnia, came to rescue his people from the clutches of the evil white witch. She had made the whole land of Narnia frozen. Everybody was living in fear. And the residents there were helpless, so Aslan returned to save the land. However, he could not claim one of the child, Edmund. You see, Edmund sold himself to the white witch for some Turkish delight, which is some sweets. The white witch managed to tempt him. He gave himself to temptation, and then he belongs to her as a slave. And the witch hold Aslan to what was set at agreement at creation. And the witch told Aslan, "It is recorded, every traitor belongs to me. And Aslan must honor the law." So there was this scene, if you watch the movie or you read the book, where Aslan instructed his army to fall back. And he had this private conversation with the white witch. And the creator of Narnia made a proposal with her. The witch squeaked in delight at the proposal. And then Aslan told Edmund and the rest of Narnia, "I have settled the matter. She will renounce her claim on you." But unknown to all, the proposal was that the king of Narnia will take the place of Edmund, gave his life in exchange for Edmund's life. Edmund goes free, but Aslan will be tortured and killed. That is, in essence, what Jesus did for us. We turn our backs against God through our disobedience, our sin. It must be paid for. The Son of God came and took our place, exchanged his life for ours, that we may go free and become children of God. And that is what Christmas is all about. God, who loves us so much, he came to save us. But you see, in this simple verse, it is not just about Jesus coming to us and not just paying the price for our sin. God wants to give us the greatest gift. And here it tells us the greatest gift is that we should not perish but have eternal life. A few weeks ago, I chanced upon an article about a millionaire, a tech mogul by the name of Brian Johnson. He spends $2 million a year just to prolong his aging. And he claims that he has overcome the hurdle of living as a 46-year-old man, and his body is now like an 18-year-old. And he says he has a baby face, and his daily life revolves eating 50 to 60 pills, different sorts of vitamins, high intensity morning workout, and blue light therapy, whatever that means. But an expert, a critic, also wrote in the article that what this person can do at its best is to just prolong life a little bit more. And he wrote this, the doctor wrote this, "Death is not optional." In other words, we will all go through that. It is written in our genes. So what is this eternal life that Jesus is talking about? The eternal life that Jesus promised is a relationship with God which extends to life after death. Jesus himself tells us what is eternal life, that they know you, that we can know God, is eternal life, that we can know the only true God. Now, you notice something. Jesus did not say that you and I can know about God. He says we can know God. You know, there's a difference between knowing about something and to know something or someone in a very personal way. So, for example, if I tell you, I think I know where is the best Indian restaurant or the best zi-cha place across the causeway, I can describe to you how the food looks like, how the food tastes, how delicious it is. But all I'm doing is giving you information and probably make you hungry. That is knowing about something, information. But to know someone personally is to taste it yourself. And unless you taste it, then you know this thing or this person in a very personal way. You have experienced it. And that is what Jesus is inviting us, to know God personally, to have this relationship with Him. It's not just to have information about God. It is to have a relationship with Him. It's a book written by Pastor John Ortberg in his book, Eternity is Now in Session. And he describes knowing God this way. The kind of knowing God that is eternal life is an interactive relationship where I experience God's presence and favor and power in my real life on this earth. And to know God means to live that rich moment-to-moment, gratitude-soaked, participatory life together. To know God means to know myself as His beloved friend, a gift of grace. So the eternal life that Jesus promised is not something that is at outer space or something that we cannot experience. It is not about meeting a certain requirement. It is about having a close relationship with God. And it's possible to do that by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So eternal life is having a relationship with God, but this life also extends to a future reality. You know, for the past few weeks, our church has been studying the Apostles' Creed, which contains the key tenets of the Christian faith. And the last sentence of the Apostles' Creed says this, of our belief, and the life everlasting. That is something that we Christians believe, and the life everlasting. And there are many passages in the Bible which reminds believers that our final destiny is not Mandai Crematorium. God will raise us from the dead to the life everlasting. And Jesus himself promised that in John chapter 14. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. I will come again to take you to myself. For where I am, you may also be. And in another passage, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it describes our human body like a tent. A temporary tent that is feeble, vulnerable to the elements, which one day will give way. But what God has promised us is a building not made with human hands. It is eternal in the heavens. Now, we do not know what this place looks like. We are still on this side of eternity, what our bodies will look like. But Scripture gives us an example. You see, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead in a glorious body. And because Jesus has overcome from the dead, He is the example, and He shows us there is life everlasting. And then in another passage in Revelations, it tells of the new heaven and new earth. It tells that our final destiny is to be so near God that no, there will be no death, no mourning, no cry. God will wipe every tear from us. So my friends, life with God, eternal life, doesn't end with death. It carry on with God after death. And that is the eternal life that Jesus comes to give. You know, there was a story that was told about an old lady named Mary. And she died, and at a funeral, many relatives and friends come at the funeral service. And everyone draw near to the open casket. They came and paid their respect, but they went off feeling a little bit puzzled. Everyone was wondering, why is Mary holding a fork? And during the funeral service, the pastor shared about Mary, and he explained why Mary, her final request is to be buried with a fork in her hand. And when he asked her, she explained that, you know, when I was a little girl, my grandmother would bring me to church, and after the service, there will be a lot of food. And after she has eaten, she will put the fork and her plate away. But her grandmother will always tell her, keep your fork, don't keep it away, because the best is yet to come, and that is the dessert. And Mary, in a funeral, wanted to remind people through the fork that the best is yet to come. I'm not sure if this is a true story, but it's certainly a wonderful reminder that for those of us who believe in Jesus, we have this wonderful hope. The best is yet to come. The hope of eternal life. And it is this hope that gives us courage, purpose, and faith to carry on living in this life, to face whatever challenges that we may face. Now, we heard what Christmas is about. Christmas is about how God loved us so much, he gave his one and only Son, and the deeper joy, the purpose, and peace in this season is found in Jesus Christ. So how can we receive this gift of eternal life that Jesus promised? Brothers and sisters, this gift that God has for us, sending his Son and to give us eternal life, is not something that you can pay with money. God gave his one and only Son, the most precious thing. There's nothing you and I can do to earn this gift. What we can only do is to humbly receive this gift. In John chapter 3, verse 36, it says this, whoever believes in the Son have eternal life. But I also want to be honest with you that believing in Jesus means to follow him. And to follow Jesus is not going to be a bed of roses. There will be obstacles, there will be challenges. Being a Christian calls for obedience, commitment, partnership with God. And you will realize that God's Spirit, who is in you, will nudge you to change your habits, your lifestyle, anything that do not benefit you. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, tells us the picture that God wants to grow in us, that our life will bear this fruit, that we will bear fruits of patience, kindness, joy, goodness, self-control. And you can be assured that as you walk with him, his presence will be with you. You know, some of our brothers and sisters are going to be baptized later and transfer in. And you can read their testimonies. It's in the booklet as you enter the chapel. You can pick it up on your way out. I'd like to highlight one testimony, that is Simon's testimony. And Simon shared that, you know, how he was quite an arrogant person and a violent one before he knew Jesus. He gets angry easily. easily. He used to have some bad habits. But when he believed in Jesus and come to church, he realized that he has a sudden change in his life. He becomes more calm and patient. You were sharing with me that with us that during his hospitalization, when the nurses serve food to other people first, his old self will be to scold the nurse, "Why you never serve me?" But during the hospitalization, he said, "No, it's okay. You all serve other people first. I take last." So this is the kind of change that you will see as you surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. The film Charlie Brown, almost did not make it to air. At the closing scene, was the pivotal scene, and there was a debate between the company executives and the cartoonists. The producers felt that this film was too serious. There is no laughter, and there's no comedy, unlike the rest of the Peanuts series or Charlie Brown series. And they were especially nervous at the cartoonist's insistence to tell the meaning of Christmas. So much so that they had an exchange. The producers felt that this is religion and didn't want the closing scene to be shown. But the cartoonist felt, if we don't tell the meaning of Christmas, who will? At the closing scene, Charlie Brown vented his frustration. "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And at this point, Linus stepped forward and said, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I know what Christmas is all about." And Linus read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14 from the Bible. But I'll just read verses 10 to 11. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day, the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" You know, when the film was aired, it became an instant success. Half of America was watching the film. The program went on to win Emmy Award and other awards. People still watch it today. And many people are still moved at the closing scene. But what made this film a success? You see, the cartoonist has tapped on something that the audience were craving for: an honest, heartfelt message that cut through the surface meaning of what Christmas is all about and brings us to focus on something deeper. It is about Jesus. It is about God, who loves us so much, he sent his son, Jesus, for us, to save us. Now, for some of us, probably Christmas is a time that you receive some gifts. But these gifts will not be yours unless you accept it. And the same is true with Jesus. God has done all and everything possible to give us this gift. But we must accept it. We must believe it in our hearts. And we must invite Jesus as our Savior. So I'll give us this invitation for some of us who probably have not accepted this gift. I'll ask our brother Richard to lead us in this song, "We Are the Reason." And this song tells of God who has given us the Lord Jesus Christ. And this song, let this song be our response. Part of the lyric says this: I finally found the reason for living. It is in giving every part of my heart to Him. That in all I do, at every word I said, I'm giving my all just for Him. So I'd like to invite us to respond by singing this song. And at the end of this song, for those of us who are ready to receive Jesus, you can pray a prayer with me. And those of us who want to recommit our relationship with Jesus can also pray with me. Come, Richard.
Would you just rise? Let's be... For those who know this song, join me. As little children, we will dream of Christmas morn, of all the gifts and toys we know we'll find, but we never realize a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our lives. We were the reason that He gave His life. We were the reason that He suffered and died. To a world that was lost, He gave all He could give to show us the reason to by. We learn more about gifts, the giving of ourselves, and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying.
Let's all close our eyes, bow our heads before the Lord. Now for some of us, if this is what you want to do today, you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus promised. Will you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to save me and to give me eternal life. Forgive my wrongdoings and my sins. I want to make a commitment to follow you. Please receive me as a child of God. For some of us who probably have drifted away from Jesus, you want to renew your relationship with him, will you tell him, Lord, I have drifted away. Please forgive me. Help me to live as your child once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christmas, and that indeed, Lord, there is so much a meaning to it, Lord, because of who you are, Lord, because you gave us your Son, and because we have a gift that is eternal. We praise you and we thank you for all this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.